Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another episode of the Crick Picks podcast. I'm Behram Kazi, who you can find at Def Mango on Twitter, and with me are my two colleagues. First, we've got Shayan Ahmed Khan, who you can find at Tweets by Shayan on Twitter. And then we've got Saurabh Somani, who you can find at Saurabh_42 on Twitter. And if you are new to Crick Picks, what we do on this show is that we take any generic cricket category and we draft our top five each for that category in a snake-style draft competition. So basically what that means is that the pick order goes 1, 2, 3, 3, 2, 1. And sometimes on Crick Picks, what we do is that we combine to create teams of 12, which is exactly what we are going to be doing today as we attempt to create a test team of the 2010s. So how do you guys feel about this?
You want to go first, Shan? How do you feel?
It's basically like my 90s. No, it's my nostalgia era. So it's the entire generation where I've grown up. I've gone from being like a kid to an adult right in the same decade. So lots of memories attached with this period across all formats. But yeah, test cricket is perhaps my favorite format as well. So lots of players that I've, you know, really grown up watching and liked. So this should be a fun one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hashtag kids, but... yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think it's just overwhelmingly full of people we can pick. So we are going to end up leaving out probably 15 players who could have been part of this team. So this is just a general disclaimer for all the comments who are going to say, how did you not pick XYZ? We are not going to be able to pick a lot of X's, a lot of Y's, a lot of Z's.
Well, that's what makes this a fun exercise, I suppose. And Saurabh, you have first pick. So I suppose you can at least, you know, breathe easy in that regard.
Yeah, so I'm going to take a cue from Rob Barron, who basically taught us how to game Crick Picks by picking the player you want in the team rather than the first most obvious pick. Mm-hmm. And since there is like 20,000 middle order batters who have a claim to be in this team, I'll pick the guy I most want in this team, which is AB de Villiers.
Yeah, that's fair. Ooh, okay. I mean, I was checking out AB's record in the 2010s, right? And I mean, he's played 60 tests. 5,059 runs. He's averaged 57.48 with the bat. And the thing I love about AB, the test cricketer, is that if you want him to counterattack, he'll counterattack. If you want him to shut up shop, he'll shut up shop. He's versatile like that.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Like the most versatile bat in a even an era that has Steve Smith, Virat Kohli and all. I still think he was the most versatile bat. And you can very easily make a 2010s team without AB and it'll still be an all-time world-beating team. But I just wanted him there. So.
Yeah, no, I was going to pick him as well. So I don't think this is a controversial pick at all. He is one of the better number fives that we've seen in test cricket ever. So,
Yeah. No, I'm not sure you guys would have considered him. You guys would have him in your consideration set. But I wasn't sure whether he'd make it to the final cut. So just to avoid all that. Like,
hey, I've always played Crick Picks in terms of who I want in the team. So you're not doing anything wrong. That's the spirit of Crick Picks.
That's a nice one. Actually, you know what? AB was in my team as well. I know he's one of the best number fives ever to do it. I did that whole piece and everything. We've had Crick Picks and all that. But I think I might not have him at number five in the playing 11 that I want. And if I want to go that direction, I can do that.
Spot lower. Yeah, he might.
I can go in that direction as well. Might depend on a bunch of other factors. But I think since it's my next pick, I will go with a bowler in the true spirit of Crick Picks, in the true spirit of good areas, where we say that bowlers win you test matches. I am going to pick Dale Steyn as my first pick.
Oh!
Where he has...
That was my other choice.
67 wickets at a match factor of 1.46, strike rate factor of 1.4, average 22.3, and largely played in an era where he had to bowl on a lot of flatter wickets. That was well before the pace playing pandemic era. And by that time, he was not even playing that much, was he, right? Towards the end of his career, we know he had injuries and stuff like that. So I think the biggest thing that you get with the player of Dale Steyn's quality is that he was excellent everywhere in the world. Like, maybe if you want to nitpick, he wasn't as great as he is everywhere else in England. But everywhere else, I think he's had a superb record all across the board. So I am happy to pick him.
Yeah, took the
ball. And England, I think, is just like an aberration, right? Like, we don't... I mean, it's just that, it just so happened that those were the times where it didn't... There's no reason to believe that Dale Steyn won't succeed in England if you give him, like, a run of matches there.
Yeah. I mean, look, he took the bulk of his wickets in the 2010s. 267 test wickets in this decade. at roughly 22 apiece. So, of course, he's an all-timer, one of the best we've watched in, you know, this past generation. So, I think he has a claim to both the 2000s test team and the 2010s test team. He's probably made both teams as well, right?
Yeah, he made the 2000s nice. Team. Yeah, he did.
I'm happy. He's all one right. of my favorite bowlers as well growing up, by the way. So I always like picking him. I will add one thing on his England record, by the way, guys. I know it doesn't look that pretty and everything compared to, you know, his overall numbers. But if you go to the match factors, in the 2008 series, he had a match factor of 1.26. And in the 2012 series, he had a match factor of 1.38, actually.
Okay.
And so this is a guy whose raw numbers don't look pretty in England, but he's actually very solid.
But he was still good, yeah.
Yeah.
And he had that epic battle with Kevin Peterson, right?
Hmm.
Headingley, I want to say, where KP plays one of the greatest innings of his life. So I think that's also another fun duel that we've seen.
26% better than the seamers who played in the earlier series, and then in 2012... 38% better. Yep. So, I mean, exactly. That's correct. Yeah. Then you don't let the raw numbers fool you. We've picked two South Africans to kick off our 2010s test team. So, I am going to go ahead and give Dale Steyn a new ball bowling partner. And I think this guy has one of the strongest claims to make this team. I know there are a bunch of fast bowlers and all of them are class. But yeah, my first pick for this particular Quick Picks episode is going to be Jimmy Anderson. Because I can't
I knew
past,
you were going to.
Yeah, of course he has to make this team, right? I cannot look exactly. past 429 wickets in 106 tests in the 2010s. That's other bowlers' entire career if they're good, if they're lucky, right? Like, he's just taken 429 wickets in the decade alone and he has 704 in total.
At one point, Richard Hadlee had the record for the longest time with 431, right?
Yes.
And Jimmy Anderson has taken that in one decade. So, yeah, but I thought it would low-key be a lot of outrageous fun if we pick this team without Anderson in it, because we can actually. There are enough fast bowlers available.
There was definitely a team that we could have made without him. But personally, one of those fast bowlers that I have thoroughly enjoyed to watch. I watched him in the flesh as well. I was there for his final test. I was there, for the Pakistan series, the first Bazball series in which Anderson featured. Lovely action. And what's really, important to point out with respect to Anderson in the 2010s is that this is where he goes from being a swing bowler to become a wobble seam bowler. And he's the one who makes the wobble seam delivery mainstream. Towards the end of the 2010s, we have the pace playing pandemic. So he has such a massive impact in this decade alone in Test cricket. And, you know, he's averaging less than 25. He's taken his wickets at an average of 24.35 in the 2010s.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
match factor of 1.29, by the way.
All right, so 29% better than the rest of the bowlers he played against and with in this decade. So, yeah, I mean, got no issues over there. And Steyn and Anderson get to, you know, open the bowling. That's stuff of dreams,
that.
I suppose.
Yeah.
And now I'm confused for my second pick. Do I go pick a batter? Do I go for a spinner? There are two guys who could potentially, be second pick for me. And I think that I'll go ahead and I'll pick the batter. So my second pick is going to be Steve Smith, Smudger.
Yeah.
He has to make this team. There shouldn't be any debate around that. If you look at the 2010s alone, he played 72 tests and he scored a whopping 7,164 runs. It is one of the greatest peaks we've ever seen. 62.84 is what he averaged with the bat, and there are 26 tons for him in this decade alone. I know there are a bunch of batters, in the Fab Four alone who could probably make this team. But I think the first name that needs to be mentioned amongst them is Steve Smith. So that's why I've just gone ahead and picked him. And the 2010s, as far as batting is concerned in Test cricket, for me, they belong to Steve Smith.
Yeah, easily. Like, I think there's not even a debate here. And his match factor was 1.74, by the way.
Wow.
This is a guy who for a decade, I mean, obviously he doesn't play the entire decade, but like if you just take his peak period, I'm sure these numbers will be even better because when he started out, he was not even like a main top seven batter regularly, right? Like top six batter, so to say, regularly. And then once he got his gig properly, I believe it was the 2013 series in India that I remember very clearly, where I was like, oh, this guy's batting lower down the order, but he's a very interesting sort of a player. And then a couple of years later, we all saw what he was capable of. He made loads of runs against India. And then all those epic series against England at the Ashes. All the epic series against India, right? So I think it's just he's a very consistent batter across the board. It's very hard to nitpick with him.
Yeah, it's also very unorthodox, right? He's not your conventional batter. Yeah. He's got these trigger movements and he'll shuffle around and he'll have those 26 twitches. So it's an interesting watch, you know, when you are watching Steve Smith bat.
He got his opportunity actually thanks to Homework Gate, as in like he had made his debut before that. But because of Homework Gate and, you know, Australia suspending four players, he played in that next test, which was, I think, Mohali.
He made 92, and, no?
He made a very, very composed sort of impressive 92, actually. You know, it was a 92 that formed the template of what Steve Smith innings would be like in that decade. I think, like, I don't think that twitchiness and everything was as prominent, but he was not orthodox, but he was like, super effective, like even in that innings. No, you could see that this guy has a way about him, you know, and then suddenly, so yeah, maybe Homework Gate had one unintended benefit that it sort of pushed, nothing could have denied Steve Smith, I think, but it at least pushed him further in the reckoning, and then that 2013 Ashes happened and then he just took off from there.
Correct. Yeah, he really did. And yeah, I mean, look, we've got a pretty strong team thus far. We've got AB, Stain, Jimmy, Steve Smith. And now I feel like this is the point where it's maybe not this pick, because I have a guy for this pick who I was confused about with Smudger. But it's about to get a wee bit tricky. Let's see where Cheyenne heads with this pick.
Yeah, so I don't think it's going to be tricky in the first place. We still have lots of options and lots of good quality players. But I don't... My first pick was like full good area spirit and a bowler that I've grown up loving. I think now I will go... go ahead with the player who I have grown up loving the most, and that is Virat Kohli. He can be in our team. We can bat him at four or at five.
Who bats at four? Steve Smith or Virat Kohli?
No. See, Smith bats at four in an ideal case if we pick another number three. But I think if we don't go with another number three, then Smith is better equipped to face the new ball and he can be your number three with Kohli four and EB five. I think it depends on the direction we take for the wicketkeeper eventually, which I have left to you guys. I have picked Virat Kohli, and so his numbers, I mean, everybody knows his numbers and everything, right? At one point, he was the third fastest to get to 25 test hundreds, and that was only behind Bradman and Sachin Tendulkar, I want to say. And then Steve Smith later on came and I think broke that record. Or his match factor in that decade was 1.53, and at a strike factor of 1.15. So he was not even like a slow batter, right? He was like counter-attacking. Some of his best knocks, if you actually remember, especially from his peak period, he was very counter-attacking. Like you look at Perth, you look at Centurion, you look at even some of the innings that he played back in Australia in 2014-15. So he would actually take on the bowlers and he would start very fast. So I think, I mean, I don't know if you guys definitely had him on your teams or not, but very, very fair pick, I think.
I didn't know what to do with him.
The thing is, obviously both of us would have had him in our consideration set. Again, I was thinking like James Anderson, you could build a team for 2010s without Virat Kohli and it would just cause massive outrage. So I was not sure. But but I mean, obviously, there is no question that he belongs.
I mean, of course, this was the decade in which we saw the best of Virat in Test cricket. If I read out the raw numbers...
Actually, yeah.
Yeah, 84 test matches.
No, I was saying just for his peak, maybe, yeah, he should be there ahead of the others. Just for that peak, because it was so unreal. Yeah.
And it's, like, also includes his earlier period, right? Like, when he started off at the age of 22 odd, and then, you know, he had a rise, and then he had the peak. Also, I was saying, that he was third fastest to get to 25 test hundreds, but he was actually second when he got there at Perth. In 2018, he was second at that time only to Don Bradman. And then 1 year later, when Steve Smith came back for the Ashes, he overtook him. So that is the level that he was operating in that decade at that point. There was another thing I want to just add very shortly on him, that he didn't make very big scores, right? When he first came on board in Test cricket, a lot of his hundreds wouldn't always be big scores. But when he starts peaking, he starts making a lot of double hundreds. And I think if we look at that peak period, there's like seven double hundreds within that. Six of them in India, one of them in the West Indies. So that's another aspect of his game that, you know, he really worked on.
Yeah, so the raw numbers for him in this decade for Virat Kohli are 84 tests in the 2010s, 7,202 runs, a batting average of 54.97, so nearly touching 55. Mm-hmm. And he's got more hundreds than Smudger, 27 compared to 26. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I don't have issues with you including him in the team. I'm just glad I didn't have to make that decision. Anyway, before Saurabh goes ahead and makes his back-to-back picks, we shall be taking a short break. You guys are watching Crick Picks with Saurabh, Behram and Shayan, and go nowhere because we will be back very, very shortly.
I have traveled the cricketing world, and so I've collected two things, the phone numbers of random taxi drivers and overseas SIM cards. Rideshare apps have fixed the first part, and Sally is doing the second. Now, all you need is their eSIM on whatever plan works for you. You activate it, and you can use it anywhere in the cricketing world. It helps you save money. It is a global solution to a global problem. Stop fiddling with tiny SIMs and get the one that does it all. Go to Sally.com Good Areas and use the code Good Areas to get an exclusive 15% off your first purchase. Fly free with Sally.
Welcome back to Crick Picks. You guys are with Saurabh, Shayan and Behram, and we are currently attempting to draft an all-time test team of the 2010s. Right then, back-to-back picks for Saurabh Somani. This could be make or break for this team, so I'm quite keen to see where he takes us.
I'll pick our spinner. I'm picking R. Ashwin. I mean, the choice was between him and Jadeja, honestly, for me. Nathan Lyon wasn't at their level, I think, for me, for the 2010s. So, I just thought the Ashwin offers, like, greater potency across conditions. And he has the more volume-wise wickets also. Plus, in the 2010s, his batting was actually, you know, very... It was better than what it was in the 2020s. It was his best batting period. He had, like, just this run of getting Man of the Series awards, one after the other, after the other, after the other. The key driver, along with Virat Kohli, I want to say, in making India the number one test team of the 2010s for so many years. So, yeah, Ashwin is my first pick. I don't know, did you guys have him or did you have another spinner?
I had Ashwin. There would be a world in which we could have both, but I was also tilting towards Ashwin ahead of Jadeja.
I still think we can.
Yeah, I mean, we probably could, but we'll see how this team shapes up. Yeah. When I was confused between Smudger and another guy, it was Ashwin, because I really think that if there needs to be a frontline spinner in this team, in the test team of the 2010s, it probably should be R. Ashwin. And Cheyenne will tell us the match factors in a bit, but in 70 tests in the 2010s, Ashwin took 362 wickets at 25 apiece. So I'm sure that the match factors also paint a similar story.
1.41.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You know what? That is better than Dennis Lilly's entire career. I think Dennis Lilly had 355 in 70 tests.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Something so, like that. Yeah.
And he is a perfect number 8, isn't he? Like in our team.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think he's a little, you know, it sounds weird to say this for a guy who has achieved this much, but he's still not as highly rated as he should be, I feel sometimes. People take it for granted, like just because he spun India to victory at home. Like, you can see, right? You can make home pitches now. India is still losing test matches at home. It's not, you know, it's not something to sneer at. The regularity and the potency with which he did it, it was astounding, I think. So, I think maybe in a few years' time, we'll probably appreciate with distance, you know, like just what Ashwin achieved in his test career. So, yeah.
I think he's quite fairly rated, though. A lot of people rate him quite highly. No?
I feel the same.
I don't know, man. Yeah. I don't see him in GOAT conversations enough. For me, he would be there, up there.
I think what happens is India's home run is a bit underplayed, I think. Not now. Yeah. I mean, now they've lost. So, everybody remembers that now. But for the longest time, people did not care about it when India were not winning trophies.
Yeah.
And now it's the other way around. When India have started winning trophies, ICC trophies and all that. And they're not winning home tests, so now that is the biggest deal in the entire world, right? So, I think a big... I mean, he was the biggest reason, probably, with Jadeja, right? Him and Jadeja have to be the two biggest reasons why India were the most dominant home team for that stretch of 11 years, till that New Zealand series. But strictly 2010s, I think it's fair to say Ashwin goes at number 8 in this team. No issues with that.
I think he is the perfect number 8 for this team. But anyway, you've got another pick, Saurabh.
Yeah, I was waffling about hoping to get time to
fuck it up. Fuck decide. It up. Fuck it up.
I'll just pick another bowler. I'll pick a pacer to, you know, partner Steyn and Anderson. Now, my only problem is, should I
have a few ideas for that. Because if you pick another new ball bowler, our team doesn't work.
That was the thing. That was the thing. So can I pick a bowler who has maybe not bowled that often first change, but who has all the skills and the record in the 2010s to think that he could be effective? Or should I just pick a guy who,
I think you should just pick a batter, man. Or a keeper.
No,
pick a keeper.
I want to pick a bowler, man. We are all bowler pilled in good areas.
Yeah.
I'll tell you the two guys that I'm confused between.
No, you can't tell us the two guys. You will pick one of them on your turn. But I'm also confused between two guys. You can tell the nationalities of them. Sure, I'll allow that.
There's an Australian and a South African.
So for me, there's a South African and a Kiwi.
I know which Kiwi you're thinking of.
Exactly. Even I know
that. That Kiwi is the one that I think Shayan would pick if left to him. because he picked him in our all-time test team draft.
Which was a surprising pick then.
Yeah. Correct. So that's the Kiwi I'm thinking of, right?
It is the right Kiwi, yes. But I don't have him in this team. I will give you that.
Well,
I wouldn't mind picking him.
Autonomy pick. So go ahead and do what you want to do.
I'll pick KG Rabada.
Okay.
Interesting.
Okay. So I was looking at this when he's bowling first or second change. No, he does have 25 innings where he has bowled. 25 tests and 38 innings in the 2010s where he has not taken the new ball. And his average in those matches is 24.91. He's taken 85 wickets in 25 games. In the matches where he has not taken the new ball, which I think is pretty good. The Aussie I was thinking of is actually Pat Cummins, but he has played relatively fewer games in the 2010s because he spent a large part of it injured, which is the only reason. Otherwise, his overall average in the 2010s is like some 21, which is like, next level. But I just felt like maybe he has played too few and Rabada played a lot more, has this insane strike rate also, which is why I could give him potentially first change and be okay. So that's why Rabada.
What we could also do is that we could just give Steyn a shorter spell or Jimmy a shorter spell and introduce him early. Kind of like what Pat Cummins does with the cartel.
Yeah. Yes, so exactly. I mean, in fact, Jimmy, you could actually give him a long spell, I guess. Jimmy is long spell, right? His career and his bowling is everything is a long spell. Yeah, so you just rotate Rabada and Steyn from the other end, both of them. Get a hardish new ball and wreak havoc.
Quite a South African heavy team already.
Plus, we get the best cover drive in the game, right?
KG Rabada. Exactly.
The most aesthetically pleasing non-batter to ever play cricket. And of course, we might be entertained as far as, party favors are concerned.
He is the most entertaining guy. That's it. No caveats. No.
Immaculate lines by KG. Doesn't drag it back, or does at times drag. Anyway, enough with the puns.
You make me snort with laughter. But
Shayan, you have your next pick, which is your third pick, right?
Yeah. That it is my third. It is indeed my third pick. I wonder if I should go with...
We don't have openers, by the way, guys.
I know, exactly. That is the missing link right now. But I wonder if I should solve the wicketkeeper issue or should I just take the easy route and pick the best opener of this decade? I think I will take the easy route then. Since you guys have already picked so many bowlers that I would have picked Anderson as well. I would have picked Ashwin as well. So Rabada, I don't think I had in my consideration set, but I definitely agree with the line of reasoning that you've put forward.
I'm fine with him being in the team, but my brain was telling me that one of Mornay or what's his face? Neil Wagner made most
Wagner,
sense.
Yeah. Wagner was the guy I considered very strongly.
Could be 12th. Right. You never know.
Well, let's see where that goes anyway. But
yeah,
I mean, these guys definitely had the numbers if you're talking about first change and, taking the ball after that. But let's just say I'm going to pick the best opener of this decade in my eyes, and that is Alastair Cook.
Yeah.
So he is my next pick. And he actually scores the most runs in the 2010s in terms of the volume, where he has 8,818 runs at an average of 46.4. He had a match factor of 1.28. And I mean, we all remember the series that he has in Australia, right? And the 2010-11 series. And then also the series that he goes on to have in India in 2012. And both of those series, they won. And Alastair Cook was the biggest reason why, because he was contributing throughout the series, right? And then obviously playing his home cricket at England as an opener. I mean, it's probably the hardest gig in the world, and he did that pretty well. Was, yes, not anymore. Certainly not anymore. But back in his day, and you know, I think it's I think he does, you know, back towards the end of his career, there is a bit of a drop off, and he's not obviously at the same level. And maybe that is the reason why he retires a bit early, considering his age, back in 2018. But even in his last test match, actually, he ends up making 100 against India. So, I mean, very consistent player all across the board. Maybe not the most entertaining guy to watch, but I don't think there is a better test opener than him. And very skilled against spin, mind you. As I talked about his record in India, but just generally speaking, very skilled, high-quality player of spin.
I hear this a lot, right? That Alastair Cook wasn't the most fun guy to watch bat. I quite enjoyed him. I loved the way he played
the
straight
bat. I didn't dislike him either. Same.
Yeah, with the straight bat, he was good versus pace. I enjoyed those shots. And
I'm the only normal sweeping one on this podcast then.
Yeah, so, I mean, he was a boring guy. Really, really good sweeper of the ball. So those are pretty good skills to have, man.
He was boring good to watch. He was very effective. He was a great player. Tell you. It was boring to watch.
I don't know if this is the right podcast to be talking about it, but I can go on a bit of a tangent here and say that I had this phase when I was a kid that I started supporting England for like a couple of years. And that basically started, I want to say, I was a Kevin Peterson fan, basically. So I fully started rooting for them. And I think it was still that 2013-14 Ashes that I rooted for them. And then I was like, yeah, never mind. I'm dumping them now. I don't care about them anymore. Just like the Delhi Daredevils.
What a fair-weather fan.
I dumped both of those teams because they weren't doing anything. But when England won the series in India, I always have this conversation with my friends. I was like, yes, I was on the right side of that result. I didn't feel disappointed because I was actually supporting England at that time because of Kevin Peterson. But even Alastair Cook, like, as Behram says, I could actually, as a kid, even just sit and watch his batting. Yeah. I know it's not the most entertaining, but I could watch
it. Yeah. I never minded watching him bat. Yes, if he's stopping the ball over and over again, sure. But I liked his shots. But anyway, he is the highest run scorer in Test cricket in the 2010s, as Shayan said. 8,818 runs. With an average of 46.41, which is good for an opener. And yeah, 2,300s to his name as well. So in my eyes as well, he was the opener that should have gone first.
Yeah, he was definitely the opener in my team, but I'm putting my snooze alarm when he's going out to bat and then waking up when the number three comes out.
Okay then, so back-to-back picks for me. And what do we need? Is anyone keeping tabs
on
our team?
Another opener. We need a keeper. I don't think we should saddle AB with the gloves. So we need a keeper. We need an opener. And I guess...
We need an all-rounder. We really need an all-rounder.
If you want to go that way.
Five bowlers. Five bowlers. I am five bowlers built. I need my five bowlers. Really, really bad.
No, so take five bowlers, but I guess.
So how will you play five bowlers? No, I don't think Ashwin, as good as Ashwin was with the bat in the 2010s, I don't want him to be batting at number seven, to be honest. So,
okay.
You need a all-rounder at number seven. I have my options for all-rounders.
It's tricky. Let's see what you guys do. It is not easy. There is another shout for an all-rounder, by the way. I don't think Jadeja's that obvious. There is one other guy who could make it.
There are two all-rounders for me. Two all-rounders for me. I would have picked both in my team with like the 12 and everything, but let's see what you guys decide.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm wondering which guy you're talking about and if it's the same guy that I'm thinking of. Anyway,
there's another slow left armer other than Jadeja who could get in, honestly. I don't know how much he's played.
That
though.
That is true.
Yeah, I don't know how much he's played. And the key is quite
a bit, no? Is it the Sri Lankan, Behram?
No.
Is it the Sri Lankan SLA?
No, it's not. It's not the Sri Lankan.
What? Really?
The New Zealander.
Sri Lankan has a solid case, but he doesn't know how to bat, right? He's not an all-rounder.
No, I'm not talking about all-rounder. I'm talking about
a slow left-armer all-rounder.
Are you talking about the New Zealander?
No, I'm talking about the Bangladeshi. But I don't know what the numbers are like over there. I know that this is his decade. That I know.
Yeah.
But
there are three all-rounders, actually.
I haven't checked how good he's been. He's got to have been good, though. Like, I'm just checking quickly. Yeah, numbers check out. Depends on if you want more batting strength or bowling strength, ultimately, when it comes to the decision between him and Jadeja. I might just sidestep both of them entirely.
I would lean towards bowling strength.
I know where you are going. Exactly.
Thing is that I've got two names which I'm contemplating between for opener. One is an opener and the other isn't, but the other can open. That's the thing. And do I want to make the non-opener open the batting? Because he's done it in white ball cricket.
Behram, just pick a player. Stop stalling.
I have no idea who you are talking about, actually.
Bro, forget it. Well, just pick a player.
you know what? Screw it. Even though this guy struggles outside of Australia and South Africa, I'll just pick David Warner. Let's just go with him.
Okay.
Yeah. He's done all right in the 2010s. 83 test matches to his name. And he scored 7,088 runs in them. An average of 48.21. A strike rate of 73. That is what I'll kind of focus on with respect to justifying my pick. And, you know, if you guys, our viewers and listeners, watch enough of Combox, you know that we are a little skeptical of Warner's test career. But that doesn't mean that it was bad, right? Like, he still dominated in Australia and South Africa and maybe a couple of other places. But yes.
He's still, Behram, I think he's still the second best test opener of his generation for me. Like, even with all the flaws. There is no one who has a more solid case than him, bro. There is
After Cook?
Yeah, after Cook. I don't think there's anybody else better.
You know what
I
was contemplating to do? I was contemplating on picking Amla and making him open. That's what I was thinking.
I really like that. But I think we can go with the specialist fan.
Okay, I'm not picking the keeper.
Been good.
Because I'm done after this pick. You guys will be left with that really, really tough job. Because you know what? There are so many good keepers on the list who haven't kept wicket in the 2010s.
Yeah. And I think we have to pick someone who has kept wickets in the 2010s.
Yeah.
Right? So that
is
out
exactly
one or two.
That's the issue, right? Because there's no one.
Yeah.
I mean, there is one guy. You'll probably end up picking him. Yeah. I think you both will be leaning towards that guy. But I'm not picking him, right? Because there's another Englishman who could stake his claim.
Who you're picking.
Yeah.
I know who you're picking.
So I don't want to make that decision, man. Not for me. I will just go ahead and pick the all-rounder then, I suppose.
I know who we are picking.
That's the only position left. Bloody hell, this is tough. See, I think, Cheyenne, we have room for two all-rounders because one of them could just go to 12th. It's not an issue.
No, of course, exactly. That is the entire thing. That is the way I structured my team coming in.
I think that makes the most sense.
The team, and the other one, depending upon the conditions, you can split. But then it has to be pace and spin. You can't have
so,
both pace or both spin.
Fuck it, man. You guys pick the spinner because I'm confused between the spinners. Like I said, they're two slow left armor all-rounders who both have a claim on this team. I don't want to make that decision. So give me Ben Stokes.
Exactly. All the stupid Ben Stokes.
This is the decade where he has the Headingley test. This is the decade where he scores that extremely quick double 100 versus South Africa in South Africa.
Yes.
And
the Perth innings as well, no?
Yes.
Where there were cracks on the surface and he had 100
absolutely
in his first series in Australia.
One of his earliest innings. In fact, that might be his maiden done in Test cricket, if I'm not wrong. But
even with the ball, you're looking at
139 wickets in 60 test matches at an average of 33. So 33 apiece isn't bad for Stokes, who's averaging, what, 30, 29, something like that with the ball
bowler.
Now? He's a far improved bowler.
He's your fifth bowler.
He is, of course, our fifth bowler. There's no two ways about that. And what's his match factor with the bat, Cheyenne? I'm curious, because this is the best of Ben Stokes, the batter, right?
Is this the 65th crick picks in which you have picked Ben Stokes?
You know what I did? I did not pick the Headingley knock in greatest hundreds for some weird reason. I picked VVS's double.
What?
Yeah, ahead of him.
Okay.
I don't know why I did that.
VVS double makes sense completely.
I mean, it makes sense, but yeah. So it's like, you know, in the early, in the first half of the IPL, it used to be, it's played between 8 teams to decide who will face Chennai Super Kings in the final.
Correct.
Now it has become, it's played between 10 teams to decide who will play the final in Ahmedabad. And Crick Picks has become... Crick Picks has become 3 people picking to for Behram to, you know, add Ben Stokes in the team.
Basically.
Three certainties in life.
We do this with Bumrah as well. Jared does this with WG Grace.
Yeah.
There are a few of those picks, right, which always somehow make it. But, I mean, in terms of pace bowling all-rounders, there's no other one who has competition, right? Like, he's...
I had him in
guy.
My team too.
This close to picking the Bangladeshi. That's how close I was.
So if you want to be extremely technical, you know, even Jacques Kallis played in the 2010s, but like he played only till 2013. So like it's not really fair to pick him.
Yeah. Anyway, what's his match factor with the bat? Because his average is
1.02.
No,
1.02.
Okay. That sounds
he's not Steve Smith, Behram.
I was like, what the hell? Maybe it's just the Headingley knock that is 2.02. But yeah, okay, 2% better than the rest of the batters that he's played in. So that means that
he's
a plus batter.
He's going to be your seventh batter or your sixth batter, right? Which is fine. I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
Higher than that, I'm not very confident. I think in the 2010s, if we're talking about Ben Stokes, just give me a second. I had his numbers open here in front of me. Yeah. So his batting numbers in, so he bats 20 innings at 5 and 73 innings at 6. So we can go with him as our number 6 and or 7, depending upon who the wicketkeeper is going to be. And then, of course, you know, the other all-rounder we can pick. So I think we just really need to pick a wicketkeeper and an all-rounder. And fair who has the next pick? Do I have the next pick?
Well,
or is
you
it
do have the next pick, but before you go there, we will be taking a short break. You guys are watching Crick Picks with Saurabh, Behram and Cheyenne. And we'll be back in like quarter of a minute, so go nowhere.
Ross Taylor couldn't see at night or when the clouds were in. Eventually, he had to see an eye specialist who would fix his eyesight. In the 2 years before the change, he still averaged more than 50 in international cricket. The top level of batting talent can basically see in the dark. That is who we are talking about in our new book, The Art of Batting. Head over and order your copy today.
You know, I just realized that we haven't picked a number 3 also technically.
Okay, yeah. I mean, we can make Smith back at number 3. We've picked both of Virat and Smith. But what I do after a break is welcome back to Crick Picks. You are with Saurabh, Cheyenne and Behram. And we are attempting to draft a test team of the 2010s. I'm done. Yeah. All 4 picks are done. I can breathe easy now. These guys can fuck up the remainder of the team. Cheyenne, last pick for you.
Yeah. I think I'm going to take the easy route and, you know, go ahead with the all-rounder. But now I'm really confused which all-rounder to pick.
Uh-huh. pick the keeper then if you think.
I will leave to you, bro. I'm not picking the keeper. I have decided that. It's an interesting one with these two
you're gonna
all-rounders.
Have to,
both of them are world-class. I'm just trying to think which one fits better in our team. I might actually have to do a deep dive live on the show. I mean, so just give me a couple of seconds,
guys. I think, Cheyenne, you pick your poison in terms of do you need a better bowling all-rounder or a better batting all-rounder? Because one of the slow left armer spinners is a better batter and one is a better bowler in this decade.
Correct. Yeah.
So that's the decision you have.
I would always lean towards bowler, man.
That is perfectly...
I don't know. Just...
Yeah, so
it's not that easy.
They've actually played a very similar number of tests also. No, sorry. Mm. They have not. My bad. Not played a similar number of tests. One is at around 60, one is at... Wait, was I correct? Only, dude, there are so many all-rounders. I'm getting confused now.
Just pick the keeper.
No, I am not going to pick the keeper, bro. you guys have put me in a spot.
Theory, maybe pick a non-keeper keeper.
They're both in the 40s. Yeah, both of them are in the 40s in terms of test matches played. And one is the better batter, yes. One is the better bowler. And in our team, I think if we're going to play in Asian conditions, if we're going to make it like outside of Asia and in Asia, when we're picking the team combinations and everything, I think it makes more sense to go with the bowler that can give you more potency in Asia. So I'm going to go with Ravi Jadeja as my next pick.
He was
another integral part of India dominating in that decade. And so his test batting that decade, he scored 1,844 runs, 35.4 was his batting average. He had lots of knockouts as well, 17 knockouts in 69 innings. So yes, that was not quite his peak with the bat, but around 2018-19, you know, he really starts to get better with the bat. But the reason for picking him is not his batting, but the fact that he is an excellent bowler. And if you just go through his bowling stats, he picked up 211 wickets in 48 matches at an average of 24.64. Lots of them in Asia, 170 of them to be precise. I know the other player might be the better all-round player, but if you're talking about like batting across conditions and he's the better batter as well and all those sorts of things. But if we just have to pick the better option for going ahead with another bowler for Asian conditions, I think I'm more than happy to pick him, Ravi Jadeja. And we can go with Ben Stokes / Ravi Jadeja, depending upon the conditions.
Fair enough. I mean, you also get an elite fielder in both of those guys, actually. Jadeja, the better fielder, I suppose. I'm not too worried with that pick at all. I was just confused. That's why I left it for you guys. And it was great to have third pick in this particular podcast, man. Like, this was the Crick Picks for third pick. I couldn't be happier. Anyway, now Saurabh is left with the task of picking the keeper. Or he could not. We could keep with AB. That's always on the table.
AB did keep in 22 tests in the 2010s. I was just checking. And in those 22 tests, he has averaged 59.69.
Wow.
While keeping. Hmm. So, are we okay with making him keep?
I'm fine with it. I don't have many issues.
It's always a tricky one, man. Like, I think he was athletic, of course, and he's one of the best athletes our sport has ever seen, actually. He could definitely keep if that was the requirement. But I know for a fact that in T20 cricket, he didn't like to keep. I just did that piece recently where Jared and I, we were talking about T20 keepers. In test matches, his numbers actually get better when he's keeping, unlike in T20 cricket. So, I think we can pick him as the keeper if you want more flexibility in the team.
I'll tell you guys our team right now. It is Cook and Warner opening. And then we have Steve Smith, Virat Kohli, AB de Villiers in the middle order.
Correct.
We have Ben Stokes, Ravindra Jadeja, R. Ashwin, and Steyn, Anderson, Rabada.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Now,
you want a batter or a spinner?
If AB keeps.
If AB keeps.
Then I can pick a number three.
Hmm.
And we can probably make Stokes the 12th man. Or Jadeja, depending on
Stokes
conditions.
Stokes or Jadeja, right? Like one Stokes of those.
That's an easy one, I think. Yeah.
It's like, so
the
Stokes
other issue is Saurav and Vehram.
Yeah.
I think the other issue for me is, do we just want to go with two spinners for Asian conditions or do we want to pick another spinner as well if we're making AB keep?
I mean, I could just like kind of flip that and say that, oh, we do have Stokes, right? He's the fourth seamer. You do have a point.
You already have seamers, bro. I don't think there's a shortage of seamers.
Why Saurav is tilting towards number three because I can see at least three names over here. Right?
I know there are many quality players. There is absolutely no doubt. But is your batting short? I mean, you have Cook, Warner, Smith, Kohli, de Villiers. That is as great a top five as you get for this decade. I know there are many other deserving names being left out, but that is the nature of the show.
I mean, if you're thinking spinner, there is the only wrist spinner who's done well in this decade. He has a bit of a claim as well.
He has a case. I think even the Aussie, I actually quite rate the Aussie as well because he's bold in Australian conditions. Those require a different skill set and he's been very good.
If you have Ashwin, do you want a lion also?
No, but I'm saying if we're playing across conditions, it's a different argument, no? Where lion is going to give you quality in Australia, England as well. Not to say Ashwin won't, but Ashwin had his time where he took some time to get better in conditions outside of Asia.
I'll tell you how I'm thinking. Like, if we have to pick another spinner, I would actually lean towards someone like Yasir Shah, who gives a different.
I don't mind that either, but I'm just saying.
Then, because we have Ashwin and Jadeja. So, like, there is a Herath and there is a Lion, but we already have an Ashwin and a Jadeja, which is why I would.
I don't mind that.
Someone like a Yasir.
I actually think that's a better pick than going with a number three. But the wicketkeeper issue is the one.
But this is Saurabh's pick, Shayan. So let this guy.
I'm trying to influence him as much as I can.
I'm going to give Shayan false hope that, I'm looking to pick a third spinner and eventually.
I know he's
just
not
going to
pick. You guys hate spinners, man. I know.
So we have made the decision that AB is keeping.
I'll make AB keep because he can bat at six in this lineup. So he'll have enough rest between keeping.
He has good numbers at six as well, by the way.
And so. Now the decision is who to pick at number three. That is another task. But I think just for volume and excellence overall, across the whole decade, I will go with Kane Williamson. There was Sangakkara, Joe Root. I don't know who. Hashim Amla. Like Yunus.
Yunus Khan. Yes.
Yunus. Like there's a lot of guys. I just like maybe it's just a little bit of a personal bias. I like watching Kane Williamson a lot. So, Kane Williamson will be my fourth pick. So, should I read out the picks?
No, before that, let's just talk about the honorary mentions, right? I think this last minute suggestion of Yasir Shah was really like tempting. Even I was kind of thinking
liked it. If I was in Saurav's shoes, I would have picked Yasir Shah for sure.
Yeah, but
for sure.
I did consider him, but like I just felt no man.
And he's very good
in
Asia, exactly. That just checks out our point as well. So if we'd have had three gunspinners for Asian conditions.
If I had to pick a number three batter, I would have gone Sangha over Kane. For this decade.
Yeah, I like his case as well. Sangha,
and
Kane,
the thing is,
Amla.
Sangha retired halfway through the decade.
Yeah,
which is why,
that
you know,
was my
I felt
issue
like,
with Sangha.
Like Kane.
That was
you know,
my
because
issue
he retired.
That.
Otherwise, Sangha would have been my pick. But he retired in 2015, you know, mid-2015. So I'm like, he didn't play in the pace-playing pandemic. He played all his cricket when in the flat pitches era in this decade, which is why I went with Kane.
Fair enough. And other than that, Shakib had a really strong case of making this team mid-podcast.
Definitely.
I was literally looking at the numbers.
For a minute, I thought he'd make it. Hashim Amla is a pretty big miss because we saw the best of the Mighty Hash, in the early 2010s.
Yes.
Yeah. Actually, you know, he has a case over Kane Williamson now that I think about it, because even in Art of Batting, I want to say we... Okay, no, in Art of Batting, actually, Jared had Williamson higher, but there was not much between them.
At number three...
I think I would have rated Amla higher if I was... You know, if I had the authority to change the list.
At number three, Williamson has a test batting average in the 2010s decade of 54.57. Hashim Amla is 52.68. Not much between the two.
Same amount of centuries,
19 each. Williamson has 28 50s to Amla's 23. And Amla has played four more tests, but they have played the same amount of innings. Both have played 118 innings at number three. Kane has slightly 100 more runs. So it's very close.
I think maybe with the conditions argument, who's better? Who would you trust more in Asia? Who would you trust more in Australia, England, and all those things? I might word with Amla in that case.
Yeah.
But I see the argument either way, to be honest.
Like, I mean, yeah, you can't. Yeah,
it's a personal choice after a point, I think.
It comes down to what you value more. And Saurabh, if he just liked watching Kane Williamson bat, that's good enough rationale to pick him, honestly.
Plus, I already had AB and, Rabada. So I thought we should just widen the representation. Hmm. Like the keeper, the pure keeper that I was thinking of, actually, I don't know if you guys had him, was BJ Watling.
Yeah. So BJ Watling or Johnny. Correct. Johnny Bairstow.
I had Watling ahead of Bairstow for sure. I mean, just as pure keeper, right?
I'm not very confident about
If I want someone who can take those snicks of Steyn and Anderson and Rabada and keep to Ashwin and Jadeja and all, so I want Watling there more than Bairstow for sure.
Bairstow doesn't even keep the entire decade. No, that's the issue
If I'm dumping one Kiwi, I'll pick the other, right? So I pick Kane.
Yeah. I mean, BJ Watling was the only name, apart from Johnny. Yeah. And the only reason why I was thinking of Johnny was like impact, but I would have picked Watling ahead of him as well.
Yeah.
He's a better, like his impact batting is of more use than, his wicket keeping, so to say, right? I think that's the thing that...
And we've already got an impact batter in AB, so we wouldn't have needed his impact.
Plus, Watling for majority of the decade batted at 6-7 anyway, which is where we need him in this team.
You know... If we needed one more new ball bowler, I was really, really keen on picking Big Vern. I think Vernon Philander had a nice brilliant 2010.
Can bat a bit as well.
Yeah, can bat a bit as well. So he was another shout, I suppose.
Yeah.
Who else? I mean, if AB didn't exist, Misbah would have been a shout at number five.
Yeah.
And that's all that I can think of.
I mean, Broad had a 400 wicket decade. Yeah. But I don't see ahead of whom he makes it.
Yeah. That's the thing. Even another good 2010s player would have to be Cheteshwar Pujara. I know he wouldn't make this team.
Cheteshwar Pujara.
Azhar Ali, another good player for number three.
Both of those guys were really good.
You have to mention them at least.
Yeah, absolutely.
We had enough to pick three teams, guys. Just putting it out there.
But my logic was also correct. We've spent 50 minutes picking one team. Saurabh. Okay?
That's because we've just prolonged it needlessly.
No, we haven't prolonged discussing it needlessly. Every player. We've had relevant conversations. Anyway, who else is there, man? As far as bowlers are concerned, there were plenty, right? Like, yeah.
I mentioned Cummins at the start.
Yeah, if you guys left the third seamer pick to me, I would have picked one of Mornay or Neil Wagner.
Mornay and Wagner were definitely higher.
First change. And those two names were first change for me. And they have pretty splendid numbers in the 2010s as well.
Yes. But
I would have won Wagner, I think, if I had to pick the third seamer. But you guys clearly hate spinners. You don't want to pick like a Yasir Shah or a Lyon.
We are going to use Steve Smith's leg spin. He bowled a little bit in the 2010s.
Yasir Shah happens in picnics. You guys hate spinners. I know this.
In the 2010s, Rasa Shah got that record of fastest to 200 test wickets ever. He beat Clary Grimmett.
He was also number one ranked at one point. Was he not, Behram?
And he has two penfers in London at the Oval and at Lords.
He does too. Correct.
And he was a compelling leg spinner to watch.
It was almost Vaughan's action with a lot of back in it though. Vaughan had a lot of shoulder in his action. Yasser just put everything in it with his back and obviously
give a shout out to the Kiwi boys also. No, Bolt and Saudi, the opening.
Bolt and Saudi.
I know they wouldn't make this, but two more good.
But they are like new ball bowlers, right? And they are not. Going to pick.
No, I'm saying if we are going to make a team of three, like if all three of us made a team, then these guys would be in the consideration set for sure.
Anyway, you guys also let us know about your honorary mentions in the comment section below and let us know what sort of team you would have ended up with. Anyway, Saurabh, let us know.
I have one more question for you guys.
Okay.
Before we end this, who would you say is the most improved bowler of the 2010s? Just to end this. Most improved bowler. There is only one correct answer, guys. Just
is there only one
overthink this.
Jimmy?
He's actually a very good shout, but no, I think there is one who has improved more than him.
Ishant
Sharma, guys.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ishant.
Jared would have got me instantly.
No, I got it as well.
No, I was thinking of Ishant, which direction you were leaning, whether you were trolling or actual answer.
No, I'm actually being serious here.
So I was thinking of a fun answer.
He's also in the list now for the most wickets. I'm just saying, he also deserves a mention for his improvement, not for being in the team.
I mean, but the so does Shami, I guess.
Oh yeah, Shami was very
Shami
good. Yeah.
Was very good. I mean, he spent a lot of it injured and all that, but once he came back, he was... So I'll just read out the individual picks and then the team, or the team and then the individual picks.
No, individual picks first.
Let's do
the
team first, I think.
Okay, so individual picks. I went AB de Villiers, R. Ashwin, KG Rabada and Kane Williamson. Shayan went Dale Steyn, Virat Kohli, Alastair Cook, Ravi Jadeja. And Behram went Jimmy Anderson, Steve Smith, David Warner and Ben Stokes. So, and our team is... Warner and Cook to open, Kane Williamson at 3, Steve Smith at 4, Virat Kohli 5, AB de Villiers 6, Jadeja / Stokes at 7, Ashwin 8, Steyn 9, Rabada 10, and Anderson 11.
I'm
disappointed. Rabada should be your number 9. Yeah. How are you
disappointing batting? Okay, Rabada 9, Steyn 10. That's fine.
Jimmy always needs to be number 11. He's the Burnley Lara, of course. He's going to be reverse sweeping for us in this team. And and then 12th is again Jadeja / Stokes.
It's a pretty awesome team, guys. Like, you know, in spite of the names missing, this is like an all-timer test team.
Absolutely.
Each player here is a...
Thank you guys for participating in this fun Crick Picks episode. And to all of our viewers, do like, share and subscribe and follow Combox everywhere. Let us know in the comment section below what you would have done differently. And also let us know if there's one really glaringly obvious name that we just missed mentioning as well, because we tried to do a thorough job. But anyway, we'll see you next week with another one of these Crick Picks episode. Till then, enjoy yourselves. Have a good one. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to this podcast on the Combox Network. There is an ad-free version of this you can find by supporting us on Patreon at Good Areas Podcast. You can also access our Discord channel there. Please like, subscribe, and rate this show. Every one of these helps us. If there was a guest on a show, you can find their links in the show notes. Huge thanks to Ruckshit, Ishit, and everyone else who helps us get our content out there. If you want to know more about us, head to combox.tv. If you make a lot of content like me, you will need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up great clips from your podcast chats and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.